Hi, this is Leah Parkin-Toledas from creativeeveryday.com, and I am here with Cynthia Winton-Henry, co-founder of Interplay, and I am so excited to talk to her today about all the wonderful things she does in the world. And hello, Cynthia.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
I was wondering if you could just tell me a bit about yourself and your background.
I just to let you know, let the listeners know, I'm about 54 years. I'm gonna 54 years old. I'm gonna start with that because that will tell you when you ask about a background, it gets longer and longer.
This is true,
the
I know,
idea
right?
of creative every day. That's a lot of creativity.
Absolutely.
I recently wrote a memoir about the challenges of being a creative person who came out of a question, a deep question about the relationship of body and soul, and raised as a, you know, in a kind of a standard mainstream environment, trying to figure out why my ideas popped the most when I was in movement or creating dances, and in any art form, I just found myself more conscious, more aware of things around me, and that things would pop like into my mind of consciousness, and that rarely happened when I was just sitting in a classroom. I wound up having some pretty significant experiences of these, wonderful moments of clarity, and sometimes I even would call them like hearing voices or having a sense of a greater consciousness than myself. And I wound up actually doing a Master of Divinity in Theology and the Arts at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, which is right next to the University of California. They had a program there where people were actually researching the relationship of dance and religion. And since that was the only way I knew how to think about it in the 1970s, or perhaps anybody knew how to think about it in our Western culture and context, I wound up doing a lot of study, and that just led me from one thing to another. I was with my colleague Phil Porter, who I co-founded Interplay with in Body and Soul Dance Company, where we worked and taught for about 10 years in the U.S. and in a little bit in Europe and Canada. And we were really looking again at creating work that was neither specifically for religious communities or theaters. It was just really asking this question about human meaning and our bodies, and why was it seeming so hard, and yet it was so much for me the most enlightened and exciting place to be asking those questions when I was dancing and creating. And I'm an artist of all kinds. I've written now about three published books, and I am a collage artist. I've had very small offerings in a variety of gallery contexts. My visual art stuff is really more about my private desire to create. It's a place of rest and inquiry more than something I'm trying to publish or get out there. But I see creating and making as primary to everybody's activities, and that's really what Interplay is about, is helping to unlock the wisdom of the body and help people play with movement and voice and stories and stillness and each other and all the stuff that's coming through us. Who knows where it's coming from?
Absolutely. Oh, I just vibe with so much of what you're talking about there, and the whole dance and religion study sounds fascinating. Mm-hmm. It must have been really fun. And I agree, like, creativity is just, however we make and create, is just essential to everybody, however it comes out. So I'm curious, what led you to develop Interplay?
Well, after being in this dance company for some time, actually I started realizing that the way that I was working that what made me happiest was actually not to create very highly structured pieces, but to be more improvisational in my approach. And Phil also liked that very much. And we also discovered that we could create ways for people to work together and create and make things with relatively little effort that looks pretty cool. So that began this now 20-year journey that we've been on, which started with creating a group called Wing It Performance Ensemble. A few of our colleagues and friends who we joined with, and we wound up making a company and then learning from that company about all these interplays of the forms of movement and voice and stories and stillness in a community where there's not a director, and yet there's a kind of a cohesive, consistent structure. So interplay is a, you know, I don't even know why we called it interplay, you know. like, at that time, how do we know to call it that?
Yeah.
I don't really even know, because we were thinking about things like wise bodies, and we've always really tried to emphasize the importance of the body, which seems to be so severely overlooked in education and religion and healthcare and politics, you know, the role of the body. So that's still, our nonprofit is called Body Wisdom. So that's an underlying theme for us. But interplay is really the practice and the tools for creating and making things together with as much ease as possible, and in ways that work for the individuals as well as the group. That's been our goal.
So is there a lot of improvisation going on in these groups that you're doing? It sounds like... so you, when you're talking about a company, is that like a troop, or is it like...
Well, Wing It was the kind of the laboratory. Now there are just an incredible variety of classes and learning opportunities and retreats and even what we call a life practice program. As Phil and I are both, you know, educators ourselves, pretty independent, creative thinkers and very inquisitive, and we've over time really found that the ways that bodies work have a logic to them, and we began trying to name and articulate these simple ways and make them very accessible. So many people who are doing interplay, yes, I would say that these are structures that are improvisational in nature. In other words, you don't have to know your right foot from your left foot. You don't have to know, you don't have to be good at talking, you know, or speaking. You don't have to, you know, be clever even in any certain way. It's not really about that. It's about being able to access movement in short, simple ways to begin with, that create these little containers of both creating but also knowing. How do we know things? And instead of trying to know something and then create, as you probably most likely know and are plugged into, you know, it's when we're creating that we begin to have insight and awareness, and so too in interplay. So it's very much about supporting people to notice things as they're going and to notice things with each other, and those things relate to what's happening in the moment of the creative process, but they also relate to what's going on in our bigger world and bigger lives. So it's both artful, but it's also very much an active, creative approach to community building and learning from each other.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I definitely had the experience of, you know, the insights and the inspiration comes through the doing, not waiting for it to come. It comes when you're in the moment. But I haven't had that experience so much in community, which is fascinating to me. Gretchen Wegner, the creator of Muse Cubes, introduced me to your work, and I was really intrigued immediately by the way you're combining movement and play and creativity. But I wasn't sure exactly, like, what does a class look like? So I'm curious about, you know, what a typical class is like.
Well, depending upon the kind of group that gathers, we might start through a number of different doorways. So, for instance, if it's a group of people who are quite ready to move, we'll go through the movement door. If this is a group of people who are more comfortable with stories and words, we'll go through the word door, right? And so on and so forth. So because interplay is the interplay of all of these different forms as well, we can start in any place. But I'll give you an example, because a lot of us are finding it's such a relief to be able to move a little bit, because we often are just sitting, right, at our desk. Right now I'm sitting at my computer looking at you, looking at me. And I sit here a lot, so I'm always really relieved to move a little bit and breathe. So we have people literally just take a deep breath and let it out with a sigh. And people always laugh because, you know, they're not used to sighing in public. And then we invite people to shake out an arm and shake out another arm and shake out whatever you're sitting on, or shake out your legs and shake out your voice. And people are like getting all shook up, you know. But it's also this kind of releasing of the tension in our body. In a playful, very simple way. We lead people through a guided warm-up where they're encouraged to just, you know, listen to their own body and adapt things as needed. It's a very simple, again, no left or right, but it helps people kind of just become present to their movement vocabulary in a very simple way, about 7 minutes, 8 minutes of that. And depending upon how people are doing, I find a lot of the groups that I'm leading now, many people are just so happy to be feeling like they're in a place where, you know, it's not an evaluative or competitive context. It's not exactly like yoga I was teaching in India. And even these women in, this is in a slum, and these were so community organizers. They call themselves animators. They were in this room together. And I was teaching them interplay with an interpreter. And afterwards, one of the women said, "Oh, I'm so glad I came. I thought this was going to be like yoga. Yoga's hard." This was in India. It's like, I just cracked me up. So just simple but not simplistic, you know. That's one of the, I think, that interplay has a kind of elegance. It's quite boiled down, so that people aren't always thinking about instructions and, you know, trying to match a leader or those things. They really are given a lot of room to both have a structure to hang on, but then to move freely. They will have people playing with something we call walking, stopping, and running. And we'll have people start to do simple 30-second tellings to each other, where they're given a word like a tree, and just tell stuff for 30 seconds, and then their partner will just listen, and then they'll be given a word, and that kind of begins to build up some of the storytelling that happens. We'll do things like have people bring a palm to a partner's palm, and we'll lead them through some just indicators about what two palms can do. To push, to pull, to move together, and begin to find that there's a conversation that can happen on a whole other level between two hands, and that it's quite a remarkable form of connecting, like advanced handshaking, I call it, often with music. And so these more profound parts of our experience, you know, you don't have that when you're walking around in the world, to have a more of a dancerly experience in our communities. So just to open up that area, that territory a little bit in communities, boy, it's just like people are just going, "Oh my goodness, there's so much here. I had no idea. I feel like I know this person better than I know dot, dot, dot," you know.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff. And that's just the beginning, some little bits of the beginning. So it's the community part of the process happens through partnering and small group connections, and then kind of opening back into the larger group, and kind of, so again, this interplay between myself and other people and back to the group and myself. you know, in a fairly easy way. It's not like where we're asking people to think about it or look at it too hard. So it's usually so hard.
It seems like doing something like that, you'd become more aware of your body, you know, in your everyday life, you know, like becoming, like opening up, as you said, that awareness would lead to, you know, oh, you know, what are my hands doing, you know, as I'm sitting here at the computer. Even you just talking about it, it was, you know, bringing me more into my body and thinking about it a little more. So I could see how it could be really great for that.
Right. Well, there's a lot of issues, I think, for a lot of folks, especially when you start adding things like having kids or having, you know, big life challenges or having to work. You know, you're trying to look at all of the issues of balance and being a creative person. I'm so happy and feel so lucky that I've chosen a path with creativity at the heart of everything that I'm doing. As an artist, I just don't, can't imagine really doing it a different way at this point. Although I have tried, and I feel like I've really suffered.
Yeah.
I tried to go the other way, you know. And
yeah.
I think that people do suffer because there's a lot of resources when we have our heart and soul in making something, when something is meaningful to us. Even if it's not that important what we're doing, if it's something that we want to be making, like knitting something, you know, there's nothing that really replaces that. So having a practice like Interplay is a great way for people to have both community and to replenish that sense of being affirmed for being a maker, you know, and not just being an individual person in my room, trying to balance all that by myself all the time.
Absolutely.
So it's good for sustaining ourselves over time. So there's interplayers who are 80 years old, you know.
Oh, wow.
90 years
that's,
old.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and, of course, 5 years old, so.
Yeah, all ages sort of thing.
Right.
I've been playing a little bit more recently with moving before I make art, just sort of to get into my body and, I don't know, shake out some of the tension, that sort of thing. I'm curious about how you feel movement impacts your creativity.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing that. That's such a good practice. For me, I mean, one of the things that I know, it's like if right now I just stick my arms up in the air, straight up, I'm sitting down, but my arms are straight up, and if I open my arms, there's a way that my kinesthetic imagination literally kind of recognizes, even if I'm not conscious of it, that I'm bigger than just the region inside of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the way we are in our body, it moves us from constriction to openness and spaciousness. And if I want to have an open mind, you know, if I want to have a sensory, perceptive relationship to both myself and the outside world, how helpful it is when I can get my, you know, start from a place of movement. It's just simply that it's the fastest way to do it. You know, it's not the only way. I mean, you could sit still, you could go deep within, and sometimes you can find that same spaciousness, but I think it takes longer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's so simple. You know, 7 minutes, you know, and I can feel like my body has really made a shift. It's one of the reasons why I love Gretchen's Muse Cubes, but I found with them, like, if you roll her Muse Cubes, you know, one die says a vocal thing and one says a movement thing, so it's like groan and jump.
Yeah.
You're like, oh! But I find that I have to roll the dice 3 times to actually get myself over the hump of, you know, of being kind of self-conscious about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that self-consciousness is a constricted, narrow self-evaluating and other evaluating way of being. When I have to change behaviors or open up, just to, you know, unfortunately it doesn't usually work just like a switch. I wish it did, you know.
Yeah. Well, it makes me feel a little better to know that you still feel a little self-conscious.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do. I feel self-conscious regularly. And so that's one of the reasons why Interplay actually was created for shy people like me, self-conscious people who need steps and a consistent structure. So I don't try to create something brand new every day. You know, I use a structure and see what's new within the structure.
That makes sense. We all need our own little ways in.
Rituals, right?
Yeah, and, you know, so simple things are often the best ways to do it. So you don't have to think too much about it. You can just go there. August this month is the month of movement for the Creative Everyday Challenge. And I've been talking about some of the different ways I've been moving this month. So I was wondering if you could suggest an Interplay type of movement that Creative Everyday Challenge participants could try out for themselves this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was lucky. I just got to write a whole book about this, published by Skylight Paths Publishing, and it's actually called Dance, a Sacred Art, Discovering the Joy of Movement as Spiritual Practice. And I think of spiritual as anything essential to us, you know. So, and the whole purpose of that book is to help people who don't normally reference movement as a way to enter into life in a more meaningful form. So one of the simple things that, most of the things in there come from Interplay, but a very, very simple one for people, especially in your own space, is what is called a hand dance. And you simply just bring one arm up into the air. Will you do it with me right now? You and I'll do
sure.
it. Sure. All right, so we'll bring one arm up in the air. And for 10 seconds, just move your arm around so that you can feel, kind of just notice there's space and that your arm moves. And
okay.
then you move your arm for 10 seconds in a smooth way. Shorter than 10 seconds. And now we'll move it smooth and fast. And now we'll move it in a jerky way.
I wish people could see me doing this.
Jerky and slow. Because you see, the arms don't, when they start moving jerky, they think they have to go fast. But we have to remind them. It's like art. They're jerky and slow. And then just hold your arm in a shape. Your arm and hand, and make a new shape. So just notice that your arm and hand can make these shapes and make a new one. And now we're going to change faster than the speed of the mind. So we're going to change, 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 and change. And notice what position your hand is in, which is probably not a position you might have started in. All right? So I don't know about yours. I'm just looking at mine. And then just take out your arm. So your arm and hand have all of the knowledge of movement possibilities, and even if you're just sitting at your desk, you can put on a little piece of music and just let your hand start by holding it up in the air and to move one arm. And if you want to move both arms, you can. There's nothing that says you can't even get up and move your whole body. But if you just even play with the relationship of smooth and jerky as a possibility, if you like kind of movement tasks, or you can just move your arm and just follow it, like let it go on a journey through the course of the music. You can even sing and move at the same time. You know? And let a kind of little meditation form of movement come out. And then if you've done that for 2 minutes or, you know, whatever length of time feels right to you, take a deep breath and let it out with a sigh, and then just take a little moment to notice, you know, how you feel, what you're noticing after doing that. that's a really, really simple thing that you can even do at sitting at your desk in an office, you know, if you've got earphones in. And I know one woman who does these puts her hand underneath her desk. It's forbidden for her to move, actually.
So that's to hide it, yeah.
Right. And I have something called Virtual Friday Morning Interplay emails. So it's also a blog, and every Friday morning, a little, very brief story, maybe a video, and maybe a movement suggestion or a vocal suggestion or something like that comes up, and people can elect to receive those for free, just so that you can have a little bit of this.
Yeah, that must be a great reminder. I noticed that I felt like I was smiling through that whole exercise. Like, it totally brightened my mood, and I just feel a lot lighter. And I think it was Kristen who did either a video or images of her doing the hand dance, because I remember it.
Uh-huh.
So when I post this interview, I'll put up a link to that as well, so people can see what it looks like in action. So you don't have to just imagine it.
That's right.
So
I
really
think on the one of the Friday morning virtual interplay blogs, I do a hand dance that I videotaped going down the street to our building to interplay. I'm actually, it's just a pick up my hand moving, and I'm singing my way into work.
That's a good way to go to work.
Downtown Oakland.
That's great. So how can people find you and find out more about Interplay?
The best way is to go to www.interplay.org. That's the national website, and there are also websites for some of the regions. Interplay is in about 50 cities in the world, and kind of, expanding willy-nilly. So it's in Australia. There's an Australian website. It's in India. And there are, in a few of the major city areas, there's also websites, but you can get to most of them through our website or find out what the links are.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, and if anybody got totally, I need to know about this, I want to be, more connected, people could email me at cynthia@interplay.org, and I could let you know maybe who to connect with if you can't find something in your area, or if you wanted to be more connected to what we're doing and what Phil and I are working on. We could show you ways that you could be a part of that.
Perfect. That was fabulous, Cynthia. Thank you so much.
You're
for sharing.
So welcome. Thank you for what you're doing as a continual creative. Overjoyed about your own work, so I'm glad to be connected.
Yes, me too. And I will put this interview up shortly, and hopefully we can connect all our people and continue the interplay process.
There we go.
Spreading out the world.
Interplay every day.
That's right. I love it.
Okay.